It is our privilege tonight to give this service to
Jesus keeps me singing everywhere I go. I love the joy that comes from serving the Lord. I love the joy that comes from doing His will and walking with Him. What a joy. What a joy. I'm glad I know the Lord. Now, we've got a tough telecast for today, but I know it's going to help us understand some very important issues we're dealing with. The agenda of sodomy, the sodomy agenda. War against the Holy Bible. War against the Holy Bible. Now, that's not just the agenda of the sodomites in our world today. That's the agenda of the whole liberal world, is a war against this Holy Bible. A war against this Holy Bible. The evil that comes out of ISIS, the Middle East, is a war against the Jews, a war against the Christians, and a war against the Bible. Do we understand that? It is a war against Christians, a war against the Jews, and the war against the Bible. But we have the same war right here in America. We have an incredible war going on in America against the Holy Bible and the truths of the Holy Bible. Now today, we're dealing with the sodomy agenda. The sodomy agenda. We're dealing with that here in Charlotte with our city council, who seeks to pass a non-discriminatory law that a transvestite, transgender person could literally go into the bathrooms of a church. The ladies' bathroom, the transgender man could go into the ladies' restroom. The transgender woman could go into the men's restroom right here in our churches. Now, of course, we're not going to tolerate it. They would have to put us all, at least Bible-believing people, in jail before they could accomplish that. And I don't think they will, not at least until Jesus comes and the rapture occurs and get us out of here, us old fogies, us old-fashioned, us Bible-believing, fundamentalists, you may call us, literalists, if you want to call us that. That's a little better term. We believe in the literal interpretation of the Holy Bible. Now, discrimination. Let's talk about the word discrimination. That is a powerful word. And did you know not a day of your life do you live without some form of discriminating or discriminatory? I mean, you just cannot live your life without making distinctions. And that's what discrimination is. It's fine distinctions. It's choosing on a very wise and it should be, excuse me, gentle level. So discrimination is a very important word. A very important word. Young man, if you're fixing to get married, you need to make sure you discriminate between the right girl and the wrong girl. And young lady, if you're fixing to get married, you need some strong discrimination. You need some strong discrimination. That's what we all must do day by day. Now, when we talk about discriminating on the level of homosexuality and lesbianism and transvestites or transgender, and we talk about not discriminating against those people, we are saying then that a mother who has some children who play in her yard, and there's a yard down the street where a person lives who is, let's say, a lesbian or a homosexual. Do you send your child down to their home to play? What if they have a reputation of being molestation? Do you distinguish between sending your children or not sending your children? Well, these are the matters that we're talking about today. But the main thing I want to do is bring you to understand that the most discriminating book in the world, in print, has to be the Bible. The Bible discriminates between right and wrong. It discriminates between stealing and not stealing. It discriminates between honesty and dishonesty. It discriminates between heaven or hell. It discriminates between every part of our life, just about, especially in the spiritual sense. So discrimination is just a part of the Bible. The Bible is the most discriminating book that is in print. But it's wise discrimination. It's discrimination based on biblical, moral, holy virtues and values. It's discrimination that has a sharp distinction between right and wrong, between moral and immoral, between anything that will guide your life in the right manner. Daddy, if you do not know how to discriminate in teaching your sons and your daughters, you're going to fail miserably. Mother, if you do not learn to discriminate and teach your children how to discriminate, I mean, teach them to be honest, not dishonest. Teach them to tell the truth, not a lie. Teach them to be moral, not immoral. Teach them to go to the right places, not to the wrong places. Teach them to buy the right things, not the wrong things. Teach them to eat good, healthy food and not junk food. I mean, on and on. The whole question goes, what is discrimination? And how do we discriminate rightly? And how do we choose to be discriminating? And do we let the Bible help us learn to be discriminating? Well, today I want to teach you that your Bible is a strong discriminating book. Your Bible has told you that your body is the temple of the Lord. And if you defile your temple, God will destroy you. Your Bible has told you very clearly that to be dishonest and to be a person who cheats other people is to end up in deep trouble down the road of your life because you didn't discriminate and you didn't learn right and wrong. Teach your children how to honor senior adults. Teach your children how to be kind to people who they see needs kindness. Teach them how to stop their car going down the road if they see somebody with a problem with their car. Here sits a grandmother in her car beside the road. She's got a flat tire. How many of you would discriminate the need of stopping and helping that dear woman and changing that tire for her? Oh, I would be delighted to do those kinds of things. Now, discrimination is a part of your life. Now, the Bible, the most discriminating book in all the world, is God's divine law to teach you discrimination. That's really what the Bible is. The very heart of the Bible is to teach you how to trust Christ and not reject Christ. To teach you how to prepare to go to heaven and not spend eternity in a lake of fire. The Bible is just over and over full of distinctive things that you must learn to discriminate and you must learn to know the truth. Now, the sodomy agenda is coming at America like a storm. Never did I think it would happen that a city would take it upon themselves to pass non-discriminating laws so they could protect certain classes of people that other people may not feel comfortable to deal with or comfortable to handle. If you ran a flower shop and you were preparing flowers for weddings, you would not prepare the flowers for a homosexual same-sex marriage. Because if you did, you would be bidding them Godspeed. And the Bible said you would be as guilty of their sin of immorality as they are if you bid them Godspeed. That's true in all of our lives. We do not participate. If a man came into your store selling goods that he has stolen, would you buy them from him if you knew he had stolen them? Oh, you say, I can't discriminate against him. I don't know that he stole them. I just think that he does. And it just looks like to me he did. And so I'll just go ahead and buy them. Do you know that you'll be breaking the law just like he was instilling them? See, everything of life, we must discriminate. The city cannot tell us and run our lives for us. You know, in certain parts of America, they're now trying to tell you what you cannot buy and what you cannot eat. They're trying to tell you what size drinks that are allowed to be sold in certain restaurants. I believe this is in New York. I heard a little of that, and I paid a little attention to it, but I guess I'll be facing it down the road if Jesus tarries. Now, you understand what I'm dealing with. I hope you do. And I want you involved today because we are dealing with something very, very important to our city. Now, I've got a booklet I'm giving you, and the name of this book, I've written it this week, The Sodomy Agenda, War on the Holy Bible. War on the Holy Bible. That's a booklet. I will give you a copy if you'll simply call the office right here now, 1-800-338-7884. That's 1-800-338-7884, the local number, 704-391-0588. And my email, jrc@paulcreek.org. Now, in just a moment, and I already got questions coming in on the email, I want to answer questions and listen to you. I want you to be involved. I want you to help me teach people how to discriminate and where they must discriminate and where they cannot discriminate. Now, let me take you to the Bible. I'm reading out of this booklet because I prepared it for you, and I want you to get the booklet because I want you to be able to understand this question. I want you really to discriminate, okay, between right and wrong. I want you to discriminate with your children, with your neighbors, with your church. I want you to discriminate with your pastor. And pastors, if you're not a man who will teach your people good, honest, biblical, moral discrimination, you are not doing your job, and you ought to retire. And let somebody take that church that will teach them right. Now, let me read to you. This is in the Old Testament, by the way, but it's very powerful. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 22. Listen, I'm going to read it slowly. And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord. And they provoked him to jealousy. See, God is jealous for you. He wants you to be his. They provoked him to jealousy with their sins, which they had committed above all their fathers had done. For they also built high places, places of false worship, and images, and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. Listen, and there were also Sodomites in the land. And they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord did cast out before the children of Israel. Now, God is dealing with Israel. Israel had backslid. They were building groves to worship false gods. And they were allowing Sodomites in their land. They had been told not to allow sodomy to exist in their very culture, their very society. But they were now allowing it. And God said to them, you are allowing sodomites to do their abominations of the very same things of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. Have you ever had someone to ask you, why did God cast out those nations and give that land to Israel? And you want to know the answer? Because the land had been filled with abominations of sodomy, of vulgar living, of godless living. And God had cast them out. and brought Israel into the land to take the land as his chosen children. Now, when you understand this, it gives you a whole different picture of what sodomy really is and how much God does not tolerate sodomy. How can I say it better? God does not tolerate sodomy. He will judge it in every case where it is manifest. Now, God cleansed the land that Israel came to possess, which we now know is the land of Israel. They don't have it all yet, but they will eventually. And God gave it to them, but he had to remove these people that lived there. And he had Israel to go in and completely wipe out the whole society, from the granddaddies down to the children, the grandmothers down to the little babies. You say that sounds so wicked. Not when you understand that the land had become so infested with sodomy. The children now were becoming sodomites, just like is now said to be happening in America. And God thrust them out and brought Israel in to possess the land. No wonder the sodomites mostly hate Israel. Now, you got to understand, we're dealing with a biblical truth that cannot be denied. You can't deny what God was teaching the children of Israel and what God was saying to them, you must not do. Now, you say, Brother Chambers, what do you call that? I call that what the Bible calls it. Very simply, it is what we know as understanding and distinguishing between people. Distinguishing between people. I mean, we cannot discriminate against things that are right. We must not. Our discrimination must be wise and gentle, but it must be real, and it must be pure, and it must be based on the Bible. Let me take you to the book of Romans. That was in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it's very powerful. God just made it very clear, and he did this with Paul, the great apostle. I mean, nobody doubts that Paul taught us exactly what God taught him, and I'll read a little of it. Maybe I should read it all. Listen, wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men. Now notice this. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not lack to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now, I took that scripture and kind of tore it apart. You know, we have no right to distinguish scriptures one from the other. All scripture is the word of God, and there's no such thing as private interpretation. You have no right to ever say, I interpret that differently. The Bible makes that plain. There's no such thing as private interpretation of the Bible. The Bible is plain. The Bible is simple. The Bible is pure, and you take it as it is. Now, let me read you how many statements God made in this passage of scripture by his Holy Ghost to make plain what sodomy, what homosexuality, lesbianism, transsexual lifestyle, what it's all about. He says God gave them up to uncleanness, dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Dishonor their own bodies between themselves. You understand it? Gave them up unto vile affections. Listen now. Women did change the natural use. Burned in their lust one toward another. Women with women. Men with men working that which is unseemly. Receiving in themselves the recompense of their error. Became vain in their imagination. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Now you see, there's no way around that. Just plain word of God. Now, discrimination. That's what the Bible did. It discriminated between morality and immorality, and it paints a picture here of the immorality of sodomy. It paints a picture of the immorality of sodomy. You can't doubt it. It's as pure as the Word of God is pure. Now, that's God's kind of discrimination. God's kind of discrimination. And God said it by the Holy Ghost. God said it. So are you saying that God discriminated? Yes. God discriminates against wickedness. God discriminates against evil. God hates wickedness. Now, in this article, I talked about Jonathan Edwards, who wrote that, preached that great sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And in this article, I quote six things out of his own writing, his own sermon preached right here in America. And this is the most celebrated sermon ever preached in America. The most celebrated sermon ever preached in America. Listen, he even preached against sodomy. Yea, on the contrary, justice calls aloud for an infinite punishment of their sins. Divine justice says of the fruit of the tree that brings forth the grapes of Sodom. Brings forth the grapes of Sodom. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Now, that was in Jonathan Edwards' sermon. He was preaching God's great truths of discrimination. Good, pure, clean discrimination. Not impure. Oh yeah, that's impure discrimination. No doubt about that. I want nothing to do with impure discrimination. I'm sure you don't. All right, let's have your questions. The lines are open. 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. The local number, 704-391-0588. I want the lines tied up, and I want the internet full, and I want to do my best to bring you answers that will help you with this Bible. Can you begin today and learn good, pure, biblical discrimination? Learn it, teach it, live it, walk in it. Be careful that you never discriminate unfairly or impurely. Contrary to the Bible, discrimination must be pure, it must be biblical, it must be based on honesty, it must be based on honesty. You discriminate every time you buy a dress between other dresses in that rack. You discriminate on the way you cook your foods. You discriminate on what you're teaching your children. You discriminate on buying a pie or cooking a pie and taking it to one of your neighbors. How about the other neighbors that you didn't take one to? Or you took it to those who brought you a pie. You know, it's just a lot of beautiful things here, and I want you to learn what discrimination is all about. You are on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Reverend Chambers. How are you doing?
Wonderful.
You know, I was thinking this week in your message today, I was thinking on that thing. When you forsake God in your thinking, not only do you forsake salvation, but you forsake wisdom, prosperity, you know, wealth, health, and there's a multitude of things that you give up when you put God out of your thinking.
See, when you put God in your thinking, you discriminate in all of your life according to the Bible. You live, you reject things that you shouldn't, you receive things you should, and no person who does that will not have a healthy, fulfilled, beautiful life. I guess there's some exceptions, but I know that with me, I trust God, and I know that God will take care of you, but you have to learn to discriminate. Am I right?
Well, you know, if we're discriminating, then the American Red Cross discriminates because they won't take your blood if you've had same sex with somebody for the last 5 years. It's on their form.
It's on the form. You're kidding.
Yes, sir. It's on the form. I give blood all the time, and it says, have you had sex with somebody of the same sex within the last 5 years? If you mark that, yes, they will not take.
Wait a minute. Now, I need you to send me a copy of that. You mean there's a form when you give blood and they ask you if you've had sex with a person of the same male or female as you are in the last 5 years?
Yes, sir. And if you mark the box yes, they will not take your blood donation.
Okay. Now, isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? They want me not to discriminate, but they are discriminating.
And if you read Deuteronomy chapter 28, I'm sure you have a million times, God discriminates. He says, if you do these things, I'll bless you. But he takes twice as many verses to say, if you do the things that I tell you not to do, then I'll curse you.
You're right on target. That's exactly what I'm trying to say today. The Bible is the most discriminating book in the world. But it's pure discrimination. It's godly discrimination. It's right discrimination, right and wrong. God hates a double standard. Did you know that?
Yes, he told Joshua, choose this day who you're going to serve.
But as he, and you know what Joshua said? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
That's the choice that I've made, yes, sir. And I know you have too.
Absolutely. Now, when they're out of my house, I got some of them aren't doing it like they should now, but they sure did it in my house.
But we want people to live. That's why you're telling them this, not to be hateful. You want them to live.
You know, I preach all the time these kind of things, and I deal with people, and I have people who hate me because I have told them the truth at some point in their life. I was doing a funeral some years ago, and there was a young man called me. I knew his dad. His dad knew me, and we were good friends. And so his son's wife died. He was a young man, but his son's wife died, and I went to his house to minister to him. And, of course, I was going to do his funeral and did his funeral. And he said to me, I've had three wives, and they have been terrible women. And I said, wait, let me ask you a question. He said, what? I said, where did you meet those wives? I knew him, see. I knew how he lived. He said, I met them all in a bar. I said, what do you think you was going to get when you met a woman in the bar and asked her to marry you? Did you think you was going to get an angel or a saint?
Yes, sir.
Was that okay for me to say?
Yes, sir.
See, that's been me all these years. That's why I've got quite a few enemies around who just don't like me, and they have no reason to dislike me except I tell the truth. I say it like it is. I don't know anything else. I walked into a home one time, and a man was visiting that. Well, I was in the yard, really. But the man was visiting his brother, and his brother had been sending him my sermons. And he looked at me and said, boy, you say it straight, don't you? Man, you really lay it on the line, don't you? Kind of snarled his nose. And I said, wait a minute. Let me ask you a question. If you had a mailman that kept changing your letters that you got and writing them like he wanted to write them, what would you do? I would have a fit, he said. I said, I'm nothing but God's mailman. And all I'm doing is delivering God's mail.
When you get right down to the bottom line, they hated Jesus because he told the truth. He said, I'm full of grace and truth. They didn't like his truth, so they didn't think they needed his grace.
That's exactly right. Thank you, my friend. Call us quickly now. Please call us quickly. We want to hear from you. You are important. 704-391-0588. 1-800-338-7884. JRC@paulcreek.org. JRC@paulcreek.org. Now, we're getting together. People are calling this week, getting their names on a list so we can restart Concerned Charlatans, because we may well have a real struggle ahead of us, and it's going to take somebody being willing to get in there and take a stand. And I promise you, I'm going to take a stand. This may be my last one. I'm almost 80, 79 plus, so I don't know how much long I got, but I would love to have one last struggle to do something great for my fellow citizens, my city, my church, my people that I know. I love you. I care about you, and I want to be a blessing to you. Now grab your phone. The lines are open. Grab your phone. The lines are open. 704-391-0588. 1-800-338-7884. Email. Got several of them waiting on me. I'm going to go to them. Here's one. Please read and explain Habakkuk 1:13. All right. I will do that. Please make sure your questions are right down the alley of the Bible, okay? And the subject we own today, because I really want to stay on my subject. That's important for me, to stay on my subject. Got to find Habakkuk here. You know, these little prophets, these small prophet books, sometimes I have trouble finding them. Hey, here we go. Thou art of purer, oh, I like this. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Now, this is talking about God. I've used this a lot of times in preaching. Thou art of purer eyes, talking about God, than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Therefore lookest thou upon that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than him. When the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than him. Isn't that beautiful? Now go to that, Habakkuk 1:13. Great passage of scripture. God is of purer eyes than to behold evil. And he wants you and I to live somewhat in the same direction, okay? Very important, very important. Well, let's go to another one here. God inspired a Sodomite king, James, to put together the authorized supposed version. No, sorry. King James didn't have a thing to do actually with the text. He was in no way the one who wrote that Bible. He was simply the king who authorized it. And there's no proof he was a homosexual. I've never yet read one word of proof. There was a charge brought against him by the Catholic Church, I am told. There was even an effort to kill him, to try to stop the King James Version of the Bible, because they didn't want the English-speaking people to have a version of their own. I mean, that was just simply, and King James was the man who authorized the amount of money that the great scholars, not King James, but the great scholars used to bring us the King James Bible. It is a great version of the Bible. I promise you. We have a book on the making of the King James Version. That's one of the best books on Bible versions I've ever read. Written by Dr. D.A. Waite. We have it in our bookstore, and you can order it. Now call us quickly. We're here to be a blessing to you. God is true. Man a liar. God is true, man a liar. That's all that one says. Quickly, let me hear from you. The lines are open. The internet's wide open. And we're dealing with today the Sodomite agenda. The Sodomite agenda war against the Holy Bible. Do you understand that? The Sodomite agenda. It is their agenda. It's happening all over the nation. Oh yeah, there are other things in their desire, but one of them is this Bible as it is, the literal Bible, not some version that's been watered down and has been changed according to the liking of some liberal person, but the Holy Bible, the Holy Bible. You are on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, good afternoon, Brother Chambers.
Hey.
Gary from New York. The gentleman that called in a moment ago talked about the American Red Cross standards, and I went to their website.
Wait a minute, the American Red Cross standards?
The American Red Cross.
Okay, you're talking about not allowing a person to give blood.
Right, correct. And here's what it says. Under the eligibility criteria by topic, under HIV/AIDS, it says you should not give blood if, and here's the bullet point, as are a male who has had sexual contact with another male even once since 1977.
So you're not supposed to do it, not just in 5 years, but according to the Red Cross standard, not since 77.
That's correct.
That's pretty strong, isn't it?
And of course, there's a challenge. They're challenging that, saying, you know, blood donation screening is so much better now, and they're trying to have that removed. Of course.
And they're trying to have that removed?
Of course.
Oh, boy. Now, why would they want to have that removed? That's protecting the health of the public.
Yeah, the homosexual lobby is trying to have it removed.
Okay, you know that.
Well, I have heard that, yes.
Okay, you've heard that. Okay, if anybody has that, where the homosexual lobby is trying to change the standards of those who contribute blood, and trying to make it to where having sex with another male or another female, whichever sex a person is, that they would still be able to give their blood. That would be amazing, wouldn't it? I hope they don't accomplish that. It certainly would do great harm to the blood supply.
Yes, it doesn't say females, it just specifically male.
Or it specifically says male.
Yes.
That doesn't deal with the lesbian situation.
No, it does not.
Well, I wonder why that would be different, but I can understand to some degree. I can understand to some degree because the male passes such a huge amount of bacteria when these acts of sex go on. I can understand how they would want to say that and why it would need to be said. I won't go into any further because I don't want to embarrass anybody listening to this program.
And of course, it's understood.
God bless you, sir. Thank you so much. Hey, call us quickly. We want to hear from you. You are important. So grab your phone, okay? 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588, email jrcpaulcreek.org. Now, you understand that Brother Chambers is here because he cares about this community and, of course, the world. We're now heard by telecast all over this globe, all the way to Australia, on the bottom side, you know, just everywhere. And we have a great audience. And we are grateful for all of you. And we're here for one purpose, to teach you the Bible and the laws of the Holy Scripture, and to teach you how to discriminate in a manner that is pure by the Bible, and to teach you how to have rules and regulations in your life that keeps you pure, that keeps you pure. And I can say to the homosexual lobby, if they should be able to accomplish some of the things that they're trying to accomplish in Charlotte, it will not change me, and it won't change anybody that's a Bible-believing person. We'll keep our churches pure. If someone comes in and tries to use the opposite restroom, we will stop them. We will put them out of our building. You say they'll call the police, they'll have to call them. We'll preach the Word of God just like we preach it. I'll get on this radio and I'll tell you what Sodom will do to you, how destructive its power is, and I will do it with love, and I will offer nothing but kindness to any Sodom person who wants to repent and come to Christ, who wants to change their life and live pure. It'll be my joy. I mean, I have no desire to destroy anybody, but to help everybody and to reach out to everybody. But we must keep our city pure, and we must discriminate according to biblical laws and biblical truths, and not according to somebody's lobby or somebody's agenda in the political realm, whoever it may be. I know what they're pushing. The same-sex marriage thing came right out of the White House, and they are determined. They are not only determined to do it to America, but Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama used the persuasion of diplomacy and the giving of funds and support to governments around the world to push the sodomy agenda that was reported clearly in the New York Times. Now, folks, there's no doubt we're living in a very strategic hour. The Bible says perilous times are dangerous times. I want to know from you, what is your commitment to biblical living? What is your commitment to the Bible? What is your commitment, Pastor? I should have already had 6 or 8 pastors on the phone calling me and saying, Reverend Chambers, I stand with you. I stand with you. I'm ready to help. I'm ready to keep Charlotte pure. I'm ready to take a stand. Why don't you do that, Pastor friend? Why don't you just call? We won't tell your name if you don't want it known. And let's hear from you. And let's give our best to stand up. Now, the lines are open. I want your involvement. If you are on the other side, I welcome your call. I welcome your call. The manager of WBT Radio called me this week. We talked one time. I talked to his secretary earlier. We sent him this article. He's getting it to the right people. He appeared. I don't know this. I'm not speaking for him, but he appeared to understand my positions. I don't know that he agreed with them. He'll have to say that or not say it. But I can tell you, I will, I believe, be shortly on WBT to speak to these issues, because nobody is talking about the issues I'm talking about. Now, I'm telling you, if they win, you just can't know the change that will take place in the lives of people right here in our city. It will be dark. It really will. You on the air, may I help you, please? You on the air, may I help you?
Hello, are you there?
I'm waiting on you.
Yes. How you doing, Pastor Chambers?
Hey, George, how are you?
I'm fine. I want to make a comment.
Okay.
In the dictionary, differentiate has a meaning that is not what we are talking about. It says to make a distinction in favor or against a person, but it also says that it means to make a distinction in or between, and that's what we're talking about.
Yes.
We're not dealing with the person, we're dealing with the act.
That's exactly right. See, God loves every homosexual in the world. God loves every lesbian in the world. God loves every transgender in the world. But he hates their sin. He hates their sin, and he is so pure in his very being that he cannot look upon that person, so that because of their sins, they are on the downward spiral. See, when you when God can't even give you his favor, your life is on a downward spiral.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to make another comment.
Okay, you go ahead.
I think that one of the reasons that is so wrong is because the seed that God created for the man is to be placed in the womb and not in some other body opening.
Oh, brother, you said it right, and I'm staying away from that because I don't want to run off those dear mothers that are embarrassed with all of this stuff. You know, the Bible says don't even talk about those things they do in secret, and so we have to be very careful what we say, but you said it well, and I agree with you. It is a very, very big health issue. A very big health issue. It is a destroying power against the health of those involved.
Who was the man that was, in the Bible, the man that was killed because he wasted his seed?
Well, I don't remember. I remember that scripture, but I don't remember where it was, okay? I would not be able to talk about it again. You're getting in the area that I really stay very careful about, and I'm very, you know, very careful not to hurt the feelings of so many very pure people that listen to this program.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. God bless your heart. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Hello there. It's a pleasure. My name is Carrie. How are you?
I am just fine, dear lady.
Well, I have a question. You need quite
wait a minute now. You need to back off of the telephone a little bit. You're talking so close into it and kind of loud until it's distorting. So be a little careful.
Okay. So my question is that you made it quite clear that the Bible is not open to interpretation when it comes to biblical discrimination.
Man,
so what I'm wondering is the way that biblical discrimination has changed over the times in how it's been accepted.
I don't know what's going on, but I'm hearing you twice, and I'm not able to distinguish what you say. Would you hang up and call back and see if you can get a better line? The line is distorted. I'm hearing you twice, one time and then again, and it's just not possible to understand what you're saying. Please hang up and call me back, would you? You know, I'm sorry when that happens, but sometimes it does. Hadn't happened in a long time. But you call quickly, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. Pastor Chambers, you mentioned last week that possibly a meeting would happen so that Christians could stand together against this LGBT community passing the bill that failed. Is this going to happen? Yes, my dear friend, this is going to happen, but it's going to take me a little while. I'm not going to move into it so quick that I don't do other things behind the scenes. So you just be patient on me. Give me a little time. You make sure we know your name and address and phone number here. And if you've not given that to us, we had some calls this week. We're keeping all those names and addresses, and we will have a meeting at the proper time. Okay? It'll be a very good meeting. I want to have at least several hundred. I don't want to do it until I get at the point that we can do it successfully. Okay? So give a call to the ladies. Tell them your name, address, and that you want to be part of the CC meeting. Concern Charlatans. That's all you got to say. The CC meeting. And we'll keep your name, and we'll be careful because you are very important to us. Do you understand that? Breaking blood interview information. All right, I've got that information in front of me. Let's see if I can find that. I hate to look for it with you listening. Have you ever had any of the following? Okay, go on. Let me read down. I'm looking. Be patient with me. Be patient with me. Contact with an infectious person. I'm not seeing it here. I'm sure the person would not have said it if it wasn't in here. So we will since your last donation. Well, it's just too long for me to go through. It's way, 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 way too long. I will go through it, and I will have that for the future. Okay. I will keep that. Thank you for sending it to me. They're very important. And that was good information. It really was. I had no idea. There's some things that I've had no reason to learn. And so we do all understand that. Now, the lines are open. The number to call, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. Listen, I'm calling you to prayer. Behind all of this kind of an effort, there's got to be the moving of godly men and women praying. All the efforts of flesh are in vain until there is an anointing of the Holy Spirit upon their action. I have prayed earnestly all this week, asking God to keep me from any kind of decision, any kind of quick action, quick move that would not be ordained and anointed by Him. I want to please God above everything else. I want to be very gentle and kind to everybody in this community. I want to be gentle and kind. Should I be on radio? Should I be on television? Should I be in the newsprint? I want to be gentle and kind. I want you to know I care about people. And I want you to understand there's no such thing as anybody that God will not save if they will repent. Now, they've got to be able to repent. And that's the problem with having a reprobate mind. He says, the Lord said very clearly, people who go in this direction move into it deeper and deeper until God gives them a reprobate mind. And the moment that a man or woman has a reprobate mind, they cannot return. I would suggest that a transvestite, a person who's a homosexual, either sodomy or homosexual or lesbian, a person in that lifestyle will descend deeper and deeper into the mire of this very, very impure life. And eventually they will become moved by spirits. And I believe in most cases, that's probably what a transvestite is a person who has moved past the early stages of sodomy or lesbianism and has, you know, come to a state in which a spirit controls their mind. A spirit controls their thinking. So they're delusional. They are delusional at that point. Now, when somebody says certain little children, here's a young boy and he likes to play with dolls, or here's a young girl who likes to play with trucks, that don't mean a thing. Except all of us at some time or another will you know, do something that the other sex does. You know, that's... I'm just amazed at how these people are so determined to force into our culture this movement that is just overwhelming and is evil, is dark, is destructive, and it will bring the judgment of God. It will. There's no ifs to that. God made that plain. All you got to do is go look at the ruins of Sodom and Gomorrah that's been there now 4,000 years approximately. And it's nothing but a wasteland because God's fire consumed everything left in those areas. I'm here to tell you, folks, the fire of God will consume a culture that goes into sodomy. The fire of God will consume a culture that goes into sodomy. There will be judgment. You can write it down in your book if this Bible is true, and it is. I'm here to tell you, it is true. You can depend upon it. And that's why we must think with our minds clear and with the Bible undergirding all of our thinking. Hey, I want to give you this booklet now. Very important. The ladies are waiting on you to call and give them... I've done this a couple of times lately, sneeze on in the radio, and it happens so quick, I don't have time to do much about it. I'm sorry. Give us a call now, 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. That's the local number, 704-391-0588. I want you to have this booklet. I really do. I want you to read the things it would do to us here in Charlotte if such a law would pass. Every Bible-believing church would be an outlaw church. It would be against their rule for anybody in this community to give a Bible to anybody because it is absolutely discriminatory toward homosexuality and lesbian living. I mean, it is so plainly discriminating against that lifestyle until there can be no question, and this Bible would be outlawed. This Bible would be outlawed. Can you imagine Charlotte, North Carolina outlawing the Bible? Hey, city council, men, women, do you hear Reverend Chambers? Are you concerned about the churches of our city? Do you feel any compassion for the labor we're involved in? Do you know how much the Christian schools in Charlotte save Mecklenburg County in tax dollars for children of this community? Do you know the multiplied millions of dollars we save the state of North Carolina in our Christian school ministries, saving that from the tax dollars? Do you understand that? Do you know that Yale University used to be a Bible training institution? Did you know that Harvard Harvard University was started to train ministers in the understanding of the Holy Scripture and the preaching of the Word of God. Both Yale and Harvard were began as Bible-believing institutions. Did you know I have a book on Yale University of a great revival that occurred there at the beginning and ending of the 19th century, beginning of the 20th century, about 1900, 1901, 2, 3, 4, 5, for a number of years. There. Yale University was having a revival once a year, and it was changing lives all across America. The story goes, and I have it now in the book, it goes of people coming there to be delivered of habits of tobacco, of all kinds of sins that had come to possess their lives. It was really a revival of sanctification, cleaning up your life so that you live a pure life. Oh, you got to understand, this nation is rooted in these values. This nation is rooted in these values. Our biblical system of morality has been based on the Bible from the very beginning. Judeo and Christian values have undergirded this nation. And now the liberals say we got to destroy it. Can't have prayer in the schools. You pray in our institutions of government, and you can't pray in that mighty name of Jesus. You can't pray in that mighty. Can you believe a city council or a state legislative body would meet and tell people you can come here and pray, but you can't pray in Jesus' name? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? If that would have happened 100 years ago, there would have been a war. There would have been a war. There would have been another national war. I'm telling you, it couldn't have happened. It just couldn't. But now, the liberals are determined to rob this nation of its biblical values. They're determined to destroy the great hope of Scripture. They're determined to have a lifestyle that is utterly contrary to this Bible. And you better get involved. You better get involved. I don't know how much time we got. Jesus may come tomorrow, and all of my talk would be in vain, because we'd be out of here and gone. The saints of God would be gone. But if he doesn't come tomorrow, or next year, or 5 years, or 10 years, then somebody had better be doing some things to stand up for values, biblical values. The Bible is a discriminating book. Is everybody sure of that now? Is there any reason anybody out there could doubt the Bible is a discriminating book? That it does discriminate between right and wrong, between honesty and dishonesty, between moral and immoral, between pure and impure? Do you understand that? And that's why you must make sure you understand these discriminating powers and discriminating terms, and teach them to your children. No wonder the Bible said your children are to be taught the ways of God, and that you're to have the Scripture written over the threshold of the door. And the Bible is to be the distinguishing marks of your home, so that your children will be pure. Look at how wild many kids are today. Look at how undisciplined many children are today. Why is that happening? Because mamas and daddies are not discerning. Because mamas and daddies are not doing their responsibilities. Mamas and daddies have lost the ability to be strong. Men, quit being a wimp, will you? And preachers, all across Charlotte, here in audience, that means the world, quit being a wimp. Stand up. Get involved in your community. Write articles to your local paper. Get out there with a sign if you need to, and march in front of some place that's destroying young lives. Do you know what the battle axes used to be? Those women, they called a battle axe. Has anybody ever heard what those women were that were called battle axes? They were good, solid, godly Christian women in communities that found out their husbands was hanging out down at a beer parlor, at a bar, and they would go down with the husband's axe and tear the place apart. That's what they were. Man, could that day come back again? You say, Reverend Chambers, you call? Oh, no, I'm not calling for it. There's a different way to do it now, and we need to do it the right way, okay? I'm 100% in the right way, and I'm for it. But I just want you to understand that the background of America is pretty solid, friend. We had some great people in those days, and we still got some great today. Well, the lines are open, and I you know, you need to understand this, and I think you understand. I think you understand what I'm saying. I think you're listening to me. I really do. The Bible is a discerning book, a discriminating book. It discriminates between right and wrong. If you didn't hear me at the beginning, you need to go read 1 Kings. Let me give you the location of that. 1 Kings, very important that you go read that. That's 1 Kings 14, beginning with verse 22. And you'll see why God cleaned out those heathen nations in the land we now call Israel and gave it to the children of Israel. They were Sodomites. They had given over their whole culture until they had descended into the quagmire of filth. They were living vile lives. And so God took the land away from those vile people and gave it to his people, the Jews. And then the Jews turned around and played some of the same ways of life and began to sin. And when they did, God sent judgment. The one thing about the moral values of the Bible, if you don't do them, judgment will always come. I see people all the time, and I can tell by their life and the things they say that they're under the judgment of God. People come by here begging for money, and sometimes they are genuine people that just happen to be down on their luck. But many times, I don't believe in luck, but down on their life. But many times there are people you can tell have wasted their lives in drink, wasted their lives in drugs, wasted their lives in immorality. The Bible said, all sin that a man does is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. You live in sin with your life, and you commit immoral acts, and you get involved in that lifestyle, and it's going to tear your life apart. It destroys homes. It destroys families. It does great damage. And I know so many testimonies. I have dealt with so many cases. I have seen so much heartbreak. A pastor of 57 years, I want you to know I've seen what sin can do. I've seen what immorality can do. I've seen the pictures of these people as they live in this life for a few years, and how their whole physical person falls apart and they become just literally a wreck. I understand this life, and I understand the damage of this life, and I just cry out to you to turn from it and to turn to Christ with all of your heart. Now, let me tell you again, we will be starting the organization again concerned Charlatans. We will announce a meeting somewhere shortly, a few weeks down the road, and we'd like to have you come. It will be gentle and it will be kind, and I will not be involved in any mean stuff. It won't be Democrat, Republican, or versus Democrat, Republican. It won't be white versus black or black versus white. It'll be citizens of this city who believe this Bible. It'll be good citizens who want to keep our community pure and keep our city clean. That's all it will be. Join together to stand up. We'll be looking for people to run for office. We need people. I'm already talking with two different men about running for city council at the next election cycle. And I'm praying that both of them accept the challenge because you would respect them. And I'm not going to name people like that. But I promise you, we're already working and already having response. And those people who voted for this thing, and those people who would have voted for it if they could have got it as deep and profoundly damaging as they tried. I mean, it was really a sad looking picture. And they need to be remembered for how they treated this community. Who has the right to sit on a city council and vote on something like this? That's what blows my mind. How could they even feel this is their responsibility to tell us these kind of things and to put these kind of restrictions on us? Where do they get that kind of insanity? It cannot be anything but a radical leftist agenda. That's all it can be. A radical leftist agenda. They want to call it progressive. There's nothing progressive about it. It's progressive downward, not progressive upward. And we need to understand that. Now, you know, we're committed to the right things, the right life, the right lifestyle. We want Christ to be honored. That's all we want. We want to do what's right, live like we should, and be pleasing. Now, please call us and let us know where you stand. please call. And we got time for a couple more callers if you do it quickly. 1-800-338-7884. Where's the pastor out there who says, Reverend Chambers, I'm standing on this issue just like you are. I'm standing on the Bible. Oh, but I'll lose people from my congregation. Well, they need to be converted is what they need to be. So maybe you'll get them saved instead of lose them, okay? Take a stand. Take a stand. Do what's right. Do what's right. I beg of you. All the citizens of this city, if you have a value of biblical understanding, stand on that value and do what's right. And do it in the name of the Lord. Will you do that? Very, very beautiful. Very, very wonderful. There's nothing like men and women doing what's right. Did you know that? There's nothing like men and women doing what's right. And I want you to do what's right. Now, the way to get in touch with us is simply call 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Or you can call our local number, 704-391-0588. Or you can email me, jrc@paulcreek.org. jrc@paulcreek.org. I want you to know that whatever we do is going to be standing on this Bible, and I want to give you this booklet. Okay, it will not be this size. It will be folded, but it'll be a good, nice booklet. The Sodomy Agenda War on the Holy Bible. Would you like to have this material? You'll have those scriptures. You'll have some things that Jonathan Edwards said in that great sermon in the 1700s. It'll be powerful, powerful, powerful. And you need a copy of this, okay? So grab your phones and just keep ringing until the ladies will stay here as long as you ring the phone. So get on the phones and call. We want to serve you. We want you to know the things that are true and the things that are pure. We want you to do right and do the holy things in the name of the Lord. You on the air. May I help you, please? Uh-oh. Line one, let's try again. You on the air. May I help you, please? You on the air. May I help you, please? Are you there? May I help you, please? Well, I don't know why, but I couldn't get that call, ladies. Sometimes that happens. Let me put it on hold, and then maybe I can answer it. You on the air. May I help you, please? Nope. It's been a joy. Sorry, it's line two. You on the air. I don't have but a minute. May I help you, please?
Yes, Pastor Chambers. I was calling to encourage you, brother, to keep preaching the Word of God.
I don't know anything else. Did you know that? I love you, brother. Thank you. Got to go off the air. I love you now. I love you now. You know, what a joy. What a great program. It's been a good one. You are wonderful. You are wonderful. Please keep listening. Please keep listening. Be a part of us next Saturday. We'll have a great program again. Be in the house of God tomorrow. Be in the house of God tomorrow.